This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, knock about 3 minutes, 3 minutes off my normal time. All right, I want to talk to you from the subject of be free. This is the series that we're in, Be Free. It is the will of God for every child of God to walk in freedom. The writer teaches us, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. So it's the will of God for you to walk in freedom, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. For a subtopic today, I want to talk to you from the subject, anchored in the storm. Anchored in the storm. How many know that storms in life are inevitable? Like you're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some tough times. That's just part of it. Psalms 34:19 teaches us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I'm so glad it does not stop there. God makes a commitment that no matter what comes, or no matter what goes, that he will deliver us out of them all. So I think that one of the keys to, you know, just storms in life coming our way is having the right mindset. Having the right mindset. I'm going to jump right into it. Psalms, the 77th chapter, verses 13 and 14. It's an amazing question, a very easy answer for those of us who are children of God. It says, what God is as great as our God? Absolutely none. Like, God is at the top of the list, and there's absolutely nobody above him. Can I get a... It says, you are the God who performs miracles. Anybody still believe in miracles? I sure do. It says, you display your power among the peoples. You notice that it says the people. Sometimes I walk in, I say, my peoples. People say, that doesn't sound right. Well, it's in the Bible, the word peoples, amen? So today we are going to talk about being anchored in the storm, and I want to show you what you need to do in life. Today we're going to look at the miracle where Jesus calms the storm. We're going to look at it from Mark and Matthew. If you understand the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I've taught you this before, that there are four people's accounts of one story. Every time you read the different gospels, you pick up maybe some different details, although it's the same story, all right? So I'm going to read a portion from Mark and a portion from Matthew as they share details maybe the other one doesn't. And so we're going to jump into Mark first, and then we'll go to Matthew. Mark, the fourth chapter. We're going to read verses 35 and 38. And like always, because I'm a teacher of the Word of God, I like to take my time and point things out maybe that you've never seen before, because it'll help you in your walk with God. Mark, the fourth chapter and the 31st verse, says, that day when evening came, he, talking about Jesus, said to his disciples, okay, class, so I need y'all, I'm going to be needing y'all a lot today, so you got to pay close attention. So before we even jump in this, just check to your neighbor on the left, check your neighbor on the right. Some people sleep with their eyes wide open. All right. Okay. All right. So here we go. Jesus said to his disciples, what did he say? Let us go over to the other side. Right. So Jesus said that. All right. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. Watch this. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up. So storm came up. And the waves broke over the boat, means the water was getting over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. It was a lot going on. And how many know sometimes life can be like that? It feels like there's just a whole lot going on, right? But Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Years ago, my father's a pastor. Years ago, my dad was teaching this, and with Jesus sleeping on the boat, and of course the disciples were going to get to it, were a little upset with Jesus, couldn't understand, and my father said, this is what you call the rest of faith, that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what the struggle is, no matter what the challenge is, no matter what people are saying, just you can rest in the fact that God is God, there's nobody like him, and he's going to take care of you regardless of what you're going through. You got it? And so it's what we call the rest of faith. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. He was not worried. He was not bothered. The disciples come in, wake him up, and say, teacher, don't you even care if we drown? And that's how the devil wants you to feel, but there's nothing further from the truth. So let's pick it up in Matthew, same story, just a few different details. We're going to pick it up at the same spot, Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 26th verse. Then Jesus replied, what did he say? You of little faith, all right? So what happened was the disciples had been with Jesus. Disciples had seen Jesus perform miracles. It wasn't like this was new to the disciples, right? But they get in a situation, you got it, that they allow their emotions to get the best of them. Watch this. And they have caused their faith to take a back seat. Anytime you get into something in life, a situation, a trial, a trouble, a roadblock, just whatever it is, you have to remain disciplined in faith and never allow your faith to take a back seat. Your faith always has to be at the forefront. Watch this. Something else to point out. Notice, before Jesus ever spoke to the storm, he spoke to the disciples. Isn't that something? Yeah. Sometimes before Jesus speaks to our storm, he has to speak to us. Sometimes before Jesus settles the storm, how many know he has to settle us? Sometimes there's some things that he needs to do in us, you got it, to help perfect us before the storm is even over. Can I get up? He says, why are you so afraid? So we see that their faith took a back seat. He says, then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And it's amazing because they are amazed, and it's not like they've never experienced anything before, but they got in a situation that they allowed to overtake them. But thank God for Jesus always being there, even when a situation overtakes us. Isn't that right? So there are three storms that we're actually going to see in this story. And I want to show you these, and I want to take my time with this, because there's three storms going on, which are the same three storms we can deal with in our own lives, especially if we ever allow our faith to take a back seat. So what Pastor wants to do today is teach you this lesson to help you so your faith always stays in the front seat and not the back seat, so you don't have to go through some things. You might have to go through some storms, but Lady LaConte has so eloquently taught us it's not about reacting, but responding in faith. And to the degree that we respond in faith, God can show up and intervene in our lives and in our situations. Amen? And so we're going to jump into it. It's going to be a helpful lesson. Amen? All right, everybody say number one. The first storm we're going to talk about is the physical storm. The physical storm. What do you mean by that, Pastor? The storm was real. Like it was, there was waves. The water was coming into the boat. The wind was acting crazy. The water was going sideways. And so it was a real physical storm, and there are times in our lives where we go through real physical storms in our lives, with our marriages, in our careers, in our finances, in our families, with our children, just in life. There are times that we go through real physical storms, and if we are not disciplined in faith, or we start listening to the wrong voices, the voice of the enemy, physical storms, watch this now, can turn into point number two, emotional storms. So it's already, quote unquote, tough enough if you're going through a physical storm. So how many agree, why make it any worse? So Pastor's whole objective is to teach you how to not get into these other storms, but I have to expose them so you know what they are so we don't get into them. So number two is the emotional storm. This is where, where I'm not disciplined in my faith, or my faith takes a back seat, or I start listening to the voice of the enemy, and then this emotional storm shows up in my life. And this emotional storm can look like a lot of things. It can look like fear showing up. It can look like worry showing up. It can look like anxiety showing up. It can look like stress showing up. It can look like me having a loss of patience, or excessive thoughts, or overthinking things. And so we can never forget, in challenging times, in challenging moments, to just stand still and know that he is God. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, if I'm in a storm, I'm in a storm. There's no reason to lose it. Come on, somebody. There's no reason to get in fear. You got it. I have to sometimes just know that no matter what's coming, well, no matter what's going, that I'm just going to stand still and just know that he is God. I'm just going to stand still and see the salvation of God in my life. How many know some of us, we try to help God out too much? Come on, somebody. You got it? And you got to stop trying to help God out. You got to stop trying to be Holy Ghost Junior. Stop trying to always, you know, no, sometimes you just got to stand still and say, God, I am casting all of my care upon you, for you care for me. I'm taking your yoke because it's easy. I'm taking your burden because it's light. And I just choose in this moment to stand still and totally trust you. Does that make sense? So I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe, because I believe the word of God. I mean, it's not like, watch this, you can fix it anyways, but Jesus can. Remember when I was a little boy, I used to sing that song, Jesus, he'll fix it. You remember that song? I won't try to sing anymore because that's all the singing I got, praise the Lord. And so you can't fix it, so you might as well give it to Jesus. So let's kind of walk down this lane. Physical storms become emotional storms, all right? When we let what's going on, watch this, on the outside begin to affect us on the inside. And that's how a physical storm turns into an emotional storm. And it takes a discipline not to let the things on the outside affect the person on the inside. You got it? And sometimes it can be a situation that you're going to. Sometimes it can be a relationship that you were in. And watch this. And they hurt you so bad that if you're not careful, you'll go into the next relationship. Hello, somebody. With walls up, because the thing that was on the outside has affected the person on the inside. You can leave a church and I hate to talk like this, but it's true. Sometimes you go through things and you'll come to this church. And if you're not careful, him and the lady, they seem all right, but I'm going to give them a little while. I'm going to give them a little while. You're here a couple months. So far, so good. But I'm going to give them a little while. And you have this wall up instead of letting the wall come down and letting, well, it's just what we don't realize is you let the wall up because you wanted to let bad people out, but you also let good people out. Because God always raises up people to help you in life. And the enemy wants to use emotional storms to cause us to forget what Jesus has already said. Did we not earlier read that Jesus said, let us go over to the other side? So Jesus fully had intended on going to the other side. Jesus didn't say, let us go to the other side, but in case there's a storm, wake me up. He didn't say that, did he? He just said, let us go to the other side. And there's got to come a place in your life where God's word is just God's word. That his word is settled in your heart, because it's already settled in heaven. That even though I might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fear, because I know that he is with me. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. Like, it doesn't matter what it feels like. My eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, and I'm going to the other side. Now, if you're going to clap, give me a good clap. Don't patty cake in the house. All right. So everybody said, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other. Yeah. And look at your neighbor and tell them, and you're going to make it. And you're going to make it. Now, look at your other neighbor, your second choice. Tell them, I don't know why they're your second choice, but and you're going to make it too. You're going to make it. Yeah, we are going to make it. Like, our best days are not behind us, but our best days are in front of us. God is with you, and God is greater. His favor is on you. His strength is on you. His grace is on you. His anointing is on you. And he has already, watch this, declared you're in from your beginning. And you've got to know that when things come up, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to get caught up in fear and anxiety and stress and overthinking and falling out with people, because falling out with people affects how I see God. So for no other reason than to have a clear picture of who God is, get along with everybody. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear about somebody you didn't get along with. I don't want you to come into a relationship with me, hello somebody, telling me about somebody you didn't get along with and tell them your story. It doesn't matter. If it's over, it's over, and just walk into the new season that God has given you. That's a good place to clap right there. I know it's tight today, but it's going to be right. I'm going to help somebody in the house. But the biggest danger is allowing, you got to catch this, a physical storm to get into our head, which turns into our point number two, which was the emotional storm. And that emotional storm causes you to overthink, worry, have sleepless nights, and cause you to turn into point number three, which is a spiritual storm where you start questioning God. I mean, if we're not careful, we'll get in a storm, we'll start questioning God, the one who woke you up this morning, the one who started you on your way, the one who gives you the activity of your limbs, and the blood is running warm. And that all sounds good during testimony service, but do you really live it out? Oh, boy. I hope your seatbelt is on. Praise the Lord. Pastor's not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to make sure that you have a disciplined faith that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, your mind is made up, your heart is fixed, that I believe God. There is, He is God, and there's absolutely nobody like Him. And despite of what I'm going through, I choose to trust God. And if you'll stay focused like that, He'll show up in your life. So let's talk about these spiritual storms. These spiritual storms, the disciples said to Jesus, you don't even care. Like that doesn't even make any sense. Right? Like how would you look if you're in a storm and you told God, God, you don't even care? It doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, is He the one that has healed your body, that's protected your children, that's caused favor to show up in your life? So it doesn't make sense, all right? And so one thing about storms is they reveal the depth of our relationship with God. And don't beat yourself up, because if you're not exactly where you want to be, all of us are on a road trying to get to the next level, so to speak. You got it? So never beat yourself up, but just learn where you are, watch this, and continue in your relationship with God. Man, I remember when the pandemic first came, COVID hit, it was March of 2020. You got it? What are we in now? June of 2022. That's a little over 2 years ago, right? And we were having our March Madness, and that's every Tuesday night. We have a guest speaker. Pastor Singletary was here. You remember that? And, man, as far as we were concerned, we were just going to have next Tuesday, and we were going to have revival going to the next level. And, you know, and then all of a sudden we heard about this COVID. And you remember initially, you got it, they made it seem like it wasn't a big deal. Everybody just for a few days or a few weeks or whatever it was, I don't remember. If everybody just does that, you know, we'll be fine. Y'all remember that? And then remember we realized, oh, this is not going to be a few days. This is going to be a few weeks. And then we realize this might not be a few weeks. This is going to be some months. You got it? And like, you know, the more information, you know, and just all kind of craziness, people are fussing with everybody. We started making it political. You got like, we just like, just, you know, like just people going crazy. You got it? And how many know that's when the enemy loves to show up, when everything is going crazy? And because the enemy just wants to wreak havoc in our lives. So, of course, I think that the very first Sunday before they actually asked us not to have church, I was just praying. I really felt, I told Lady, I said, I just don't think we should have it. I said, I don't know why. I don't know everything going on, but I just don't feel that we should have it. And she's like, well, hey. And so that's what we did. And we told you guys what was going on. And then, of course, I didn't know that was going to be another Sunday and another Sunday and another Sunday and another Sunday and another. And then we're just scrambling to make sure people are okay. And, you know, just all kinds of stuff. And that's when the enemy starts talking. That's when he starts talking in our lives. And I remember the enemy, man, he tried to tell me, man, you know, people are going to scatter and they're not going to stay in faith. And, you know, and I remember the enemy trying, because he didn't, to tell, man, WLCC just is going to go down. You got it? Like, you know, if the money don't come in, you know, y'all got all them buildings and you got to pay for all that stuff and those kind of things. And I remember the enemy talking and I don't normally talk back to the enemy. I normally just like he's powerless in my life, so I almost ignore him. Like I'll cast down the thought and I replace it with the word of God, like I taught you, and I just keep on going. You got it? And so, but he just really was like on this thing about, you know, just going to lose everything. And so one thing I understand is we are the church. This is just the building. So I told the devil, listen, I don't believe it, but just so you know, if it did happen, we'd just build another building. We are the church. As long as we stay strong, as long as we're good, like we need to be, we're just, look, like God helped us do this one. So I just started talking back to the devil. And then I reminded the devil, if he did it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now. Same God back then. Like, you got to have faith and the faithfulness of God that no matter what comes, that no matter what goes, that no matter what happens in your life, that God is still God. I got to calm down. That God is still God, that He is on the throne and He's going to take care of you. You have to have that made up in your mind. So yes, we need a job, but if my job was to close down, you got it. My job is not my source. My job is just a resource. God is my source. And if one door closes, watch this. He's a great big God, and He'll open other doors for me. The key is for me to stay in disciplined faith, in expectation, and trust God no matter what. Everybody say, trust God no matter what. Yeah. And so I had to talk back to the devil. I had to just let him know, like, I'm not moved by any of this. You got it? I'm not bothered, because I know that God is with me and God is greater. And you got to get that God is with you and he's greater. He's not just with you in the good times. You got it. He's with you all the times, in the in-between times, in the tough times, in the crazy times. Like, God is always with you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to back up. He's never going to withdraw. He's never going to change his mind. Even if you change your mind, God says, I'm still going to keep my same position because I'm God and there's nobody like me. Here's the big question. Big question. Let's put it up on the screen. Watch this. What if the miracle wasn't the storm Jesus calmed on the outside, but the storm he calmed on the inside? What if that was the bigger miracle? What if it wasn't really about the wind and the rain, but what he wants to do on the inside of us? What if it wasn't really about the career change or the money getting a little funny or something going on in the family or the marriage or the children or whatever? But what if it was really about what God is trying to do on the inside of us? This young man is teaching good. Yes, he is. What if what God was really doing was trying to get us to a point in life where we have the ability to stand firm no matter what comes or no matter what goes? Like when all hell breaks loose, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So when it gets crazy, you don't get crazy. So when it gets crazy, you don't start cussing folk out. How many of Christians ain't supposed to cuss? Hebrews, the 6th chapter and the 19th verse. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. How many know Jesus is our hope? So we might not always, watch this, be able to control the physical storm, what's happened on the outside. But with the help of Jesus, we can control the emotional and the spiritual storm, what's happening on the inside. Y'all getting anything out of this? All right. Well, I want to give you three ways to stay anchored in the storm. We got 4 minutes left, and this is a good spot because I probably only need 3.5. All right. I want to give you three ways to stay anchored in a storm. Everybody say number one. Number one, we're anchored when we cultivate God's presence. We're anchored when we cultivate God's presence. How many know we need to be in God's presence and not just on Sundays? But we need to be in God's presence every day. That is why we have the prayer calls. You got it? That's why we have the devotions in the 365-day Bible on the website. And we have the confession book on the website. We have our prayer journal on the website. We've just got everything for you to go and get it. That is why worship, the entire worship set, you know, is on Facebook and on YouTube. So if you need to get into worship, you got it. I know there's all other things out there. But just in case you don't know, we got something for you. You got it? And so the key is learning to stay in God's presence. Psalms 91, which I think you should read the whole chapter every day. I'm just going to read a portion of it, and I need your help, so go ahead and be looking at that second word, okay? Isn't it so good how I help y'all out? The Bible says, whoever, that's good. Another word for dwells is lives. Whoever lives in the shelter of the Most High will do what, class? Will rest. So if I live in him, I'll rest because of him. If I live in him, I'll rest because of him. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. And he will cover you with his feathers. And under his wings you will find refuge. And his faithfulness, and God is a faithful God, will be your shield and buckler or your rampart. And so the writer begins to tell us that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, that God will be with us, that he will be greater, that he will protect us, you got it, from anything that comes our way. So there's a bullet I have. They'll put it up on the screen. Peace isn't the absence of trouble, but peace is the presence of God. So it doesn't mean that there won't be some tough times. It doesn't mean that trouble won't try to show up, but even if trouble shows up, I can remain in peace, because peace isn't the absence of trouble. It's just making sure that God's presence is with me. All right, everybody say number two. Number two, we're anchored when we remember God's promise. Psalms 119, the writer said in verse 81, the writer says, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope, where, class? In your word. Here's my next bullet for that. Don't let your circumstances speak louder than God's word. Don't let your circumstances speak louder than God's word. God is always speaking. you got it. He's always speaking. But sometimes when we're going through a lot and there's so many voices, you got it, and so much going on, his is not always the loudest in our lives. And what you have to do is do things where you quiet all the other voices. Get in a time where you can meditate, where you can pray, where you can hear the word of God. Turn some worship music on and make sure that his voice, if you only can do it for 10 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day, I don't need you to read six scriptures. You got six chapters. If you do, great. You got it. But it doesn't make you better than anybody else. I would rather have you just chew on one or two. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares of you. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. And all of a sudden, at 12 o'clock at lunch, somebody acts crazy, and then the boss gets on you, and it wasn't even your fault. And then immediately, here comes Holy Spirit that reminds you, just cast your care all upon him, for he cares for you. Does that make sense? All right, and after a while, you'll realize that the Bible says that all of the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. All right, let's go home. This is a good place. Number three, let's get out of here. Number three, we're anchored when we understand God's process. God's process. Everything about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. And that's why the writer says, in patience possess you your soul. Watch what Romans 5 teaches. He says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, that sounds good, right? I mean, Paul's talking, sounds good. But he says, hang on. I got more for you. He says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Oh, here we go. But no. The writer says in the KJV, in tribulations, in trouble, we rejoice because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And we know the writer says, in hope, make it not ashamed because of the love of Jesus, that's in our hearts because of the Holy Ghost. And so watch this. Here's my bullet for this, and we're going to go home. Trouble doesn't build character. It reveals it. Trouble doesn't build character, it reveals it. Are you sure about that? Yeah, because the Bible says that trouble produces perseverance. And when I learn to persevere, then it's going to build character. And then that character causes me to continue to hope in Jesus no matter what it comes or no matter what goes. So if I find I'm not where I need to be, I just make the adjustment with the help of Holy Spirit. So the next time a storm comes, it may be a physical storm, but by the grace of God, I'm not going to let it turn into an emotional storm, and I'm not going to let it turn into a spiritual storm, because I don't have to ask God if he cares. I already know he cares. And so I can stand still and assured, knowing that God is with me and God is greater. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers praying all over the building. I know we have to have a few people move, but if we can just have our moving to very limited. Believers praying all over the building. First thing I want you to do is I would just want you to ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Like, what are you saying to me? And I believe that God will speak to you. I believe that there's an area of this lesson that he can speak to you. And once he speaks to you, just make the adjustment. Sometimes God will convict us in areas of our lives. He convicts us all. He convicts me. And so he convicts every one of us. But I want to give you another word for convict: convince. And sometimes what God's trying to do is just convince us that his way is the best way. His way is the right way. And if you follow his way, you'll always end up in the right path. And so, Father, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. And I release my faith with theirs today in Jesus' name. You know them name by name and situation by situation. So it is with great confidence that I know that you will meet them at the point of their need. And so, Father, I set my faith with theirs, those that are going through storms, that as of today, they have what they need to be anchored in the storm, that they cast all of their care upon you, for you care for them. I ask you to calm the storm that might be taking place in their life, to make the crooked places straight, to cause favor to abound in their lives in the name of Jesus. And Lord, give them the peace that they need. Give them the strength that they need. Holy Spirit, comfort them like only you can comfort them. And so, Father, I thank you that as they move forward in faith, that there's a turning, that there's a shifting, that the winds of change are blowing in their direction. And so, Father, I thank you for it. I give you praise for what you're doing. And like we say this, but this is just not a cliche. Our best days are not behind us. But our best days are right in front of us because we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, we believe it, we receive it, we stand on your promises. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise in the room?